In 1988, Bobby McFerrin told us, "Don't worry, be happy." And this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And I was really.
Well, welcome to episode 10, double digits.
Double digits.
Of the Fat Man Chronicles. We are a regular couple on a journey to health, fitness, weight loss, and hopefully happiness, and we invite you along for the ride. My name is Pete. I am the author of the Fat Man Chronicles blog, and alongside me, as always, is my beautiful wife, the reason people come back and listen to this show, Gretchen. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I mean, we had a good meal.
We did have a good meal.
Most of it.
Most of it.
The kid's in bed.
Michaela's in bed.
And we've got a bottle of wine open. So why don't you tell them what's in that bottle?
It's Bravado.
Okay. You got that one.
It's a red blend.
It is.
It's Garcia and...
This is great.
Schwarterer.
Not Schwarber.
Not
like
Schwarber.
The Cubs.
No. Schwarterer.
Now, why don't you? I want you to name all the grapes.
No.
No?
It's 39%. I do know this one. Carnong. No, it's not Carnong. It's Petit Verdot.
I'm not sure this is as entertaining for everybody else as it is for me.
Carmier, Grenache, and another one. It's from Chile. It's a red wine from Chile.
It is. It's from the Itata Valley in Chile. And they're using old vines, like 100-year-old vines. And This is kind of a kitchen sink blend. So it is 39% Carignan, 21% Petit Verdot, 15% Syrah, 13% Carmenere, 6% Grenache, and 6% Mourvèdre. And all that, just to let you know, is really, really good.
Equals delicious.
It is really good. Yes. It's got a lot of like really good blue and red fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You're just agreeing because you don't really talk like that about wine.
I don't. It's tasty.
It's juicy. Got good acidity.
Sure.
Okay.
It does have acidity.
It's really good.
It's very
tasty.
Where
you're going thumbs up on this one.
Yeah, this is a thumbs up one for sure.
I think a lot of people would love this. It's kind of dark, inky color. So
seems like Jen and Boone would like this one.
Jen and Boone would love this one.
Yeah.
We have a lot of friends who would love this one. All right. Well, let's just jump right into it. Why don't we get in, since we just named a bunch of grapes off, super entertaining stuff. Why don't you jump in and tell us how your week has been?
Week's been good. So last podcast, I was concerned about, traveling and if I had any weight gain. And I don't call it any gaining, because I kind of fluctuate around like a single number. And I did. It went up a little bit, but it came back down and then I ended up actually losing a pound this week. So that was good. So I hit a new low.
So what is that total? Do you have any idea?
20 pounds now.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm a nice round 20 down. So that's great. So work was kind of busy this week. So my views from like my reality shows, I feel like, they were hindered a little bit.
Views from the quote unquote couch.
My couch. I wasn't in my couch though. So you have like booted me from my couch. I've been sitting in my recliner.
Yeah, that's rough. A leather recliner.
Yeah,
that's rough.
It's electric recliner too, so I don't even have to do any work. Thank goodness. But the going up and down the stairs, I feel like that's exercise now. I mean, that's flights of stairs, to go up and down. So
Are you holding it longer so you don't have to go off as often?
The other day I was on a call. I was rushing downstairs because I could hear my computer ringing, and I get on the phone and it was my boss and we start talking and I was like, all of a sudden I was like, oh man. She's like, what? I'm like, I forgot my phone upstairs and it's so far away. So I just kind of left it there until the next time I had to go up and get water. But morality shows, let's see. Oh, this week, return of Real Housewives of Atlanta, since we're doing this kind of a day, we're a little day later than normal. So
we are. We're recording on Monday night because I didn't feel well last night.
Yes. So Sunday night was Real Housewives of Atlanta returned. So there's a lot of drama on this one. We have Nene Leakes, who was on The Apprentice.
She's an actress, right?
No, she's a reality show star. She started on reality and she was on that one show. She started on reality and then she did get that one show that took place out in California. They were an actor. It was a couple. I can't remember the name of that show.
That's okay because I'm heading to IMDb back.
She was an original Housewives of Atlanta. And so she kind of took a hiatus because she kind of felt she was a little too big for her, for the show. And now she's back again because she doesn't.
Her career stalled?
Yeah, she's got nothing else going on. But she does do a lot of, I mean, these women, it's kind of interesting. They do a lot of appearances. They do a lot of talks. Like people come to listen to them talk.
Why?
I don't know. It's really weird to me. And like Teresa Guidus, who is the New Jersey one that was in jail, she's on a whole tour right now too. And she actually made a huge faux pas about Sofia Varga and saying like just some inappropriate stuff about her. And I mean, Hollywood was like, seriously, who are you? Like she kind of made this like, who is she to talk about me? Teresa was saying that, like, who's Sophia to talk about me this way, you know? And it's like,
has she seen her?
And Teresa's a nobody. I mean, seriously, your reality TV show. That's
great. Calling people a nobody on the air.
I mean,
it's
okay. You have Sofia Varga and then you have Teresa. I mean, seriously, there's no comparison in career wise and stuff. So,
she's like one of the most beautiful women.
She's pretty. So yeah.
So Glee, were you thinking Glee?
No, well, she was on Glee. She played, she did play a coach on Glee. She had like a little, but there was a sitcom.
The New Normal?
The New Normal, yes. She had like a reoccurring, like more, what should we call it?
She was in 22 episodes of The New Normal.
Yeah, so she was like a reoccurring actor.
I know now, 10 times more about Nene.
We watched The New Normal. We watched that show
It's not Nene?
No, it's not Nene.
Okay.
So Atlanta is back and it's going to be a great season. Can't wait. Lots of drama. People fired for inappropriateness, people being thrown off because of getting in fights. It's going to be awesome. I love Atlanta. They're always good for a good drama. The other ones are just kind of like the OC. They're in Iceland, which I would love. It's so beautiful. Like they all go on these like girl trips that they call them. And so each group goes on a trip. And so this year the OC went to Iceland.
Well, you can't go, like you can't do a girl's trip to there. Like you.
Me? No, yeah. Because you want to go there.
I want to go.
Yeah.
But we could do like a Fat Man Chronicles trip.
Well,
we can invite everybody.
Everyone can go.
All 100 people or whatever it is.
So they're in Iceland right now, which I'm kind of jealous about. But like one woman there, she didn't, you know, it's a long ways to get there. It takes a long time. And so Vicky gets there. She doesn't sleep. She doesn't eat well. And like day two, she starts having like her heart's racing. She's feeling nauseous. She's feeling sick. Well, hello, you haven't eaten and you haven't slept. So that's why you're having these heart palpitations, you know, but she has heart conditions. She's had some heart problems. And so they called the ambulance. It was pretty dramatic. But like based on the cutting of it, like it looked an hour after she got, like 5 minutes after she got out of the hospital, she's drinking champagne. So it's pretty.
I was going to ask if there was cocaine and champagne involved.
Well, no. Well, she was like, prior to that, she was like drinking, you know, the night before and stuff, and they're having a good time. But I think it was just exhaustion. I mean, it seems like it's a long way to get there. So, But yeah,
so, that's in on the show.
That's
front.
My reality shows. Yeah, so it's a pretty exciting.
And I will say it every episode, maybe. But This Is Us continues to just crush it.
Oh yeah,
that show is so good. It may end up being one of the best shows ever on television.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how long it can go. Like I feel once it like reveals how Jack really died, you know, like the whole thing of it, I feel like maybe then, because that's like every episode you're like wondering, you get a piece of the puzzle as to how it happens and stuff. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, but I think there's plenty of pieces to puzzles within the lives that they're building and, you know, they're going kind of backwards on some and it's really just well done.
It's very good. It's very good.
That's a must-see TV for
it
me.
It is a must-see TV for sure. Like,
that's the one we watched the night that it comes out.
Yep.
Anything else that we're watching, we kind of just
that can
whenever.
Always wait. Yeah, like we have like Blacklist used to be one that we used to watch. I think we have like six of those now to watch. And
yeah, and I love Raymond Reddington.
Yes,
but it's some like that's a show I like to binge.
Yeah,
versus
that's a good one.
You know, because there's not a lot of chatter about it.
No,
on social media or whatever,
you can avoid it pretty easily.
Yeah.
So
why don't you talk about a little bit about the awesome dinner.
So I've been, you know, I think I've mentioned it that I've started to, we're hosting Thanksgiving this year. So I'm very excited because that's my absolute favorite meal to prepare. So I'm very excited to host that. And so because of our dietary, what we're trying not to eat, I've been looking for new recipes where we can still get all our staples, the stuffing, the pumpkin pie, and the gravy and just certain things that we just absolutely love and I want to make sure. So,
and that's not to say that we won't have some small cheats that day,
right,
but we're just trying to round it out as best we can.
Yeah, I'm trying
to. And that takes planning.
Right. So I'm planning ahead and I wanted to do some trials because it's not like I'm going into my most favorite meal and not know if it's going to turn out okay, especially since your family's going to be there too. And I have a feeling that some of them might try it and I would hate for it to be horrible and then like turns people off from it completely. So,
well, sure. I mean, we're not trying to make stuff that only tastes good to us. Like we're trying to make food.
It's real food. Right.
That we're trying to make. That anybody would eat.
Exactly. It's not like we're saying you can't eat this. No, we want everyone to try it. So Pinterest has been my friend, you know, during my slow times. And I found a few recipes. And so this week I decided I want to try to make the stuffing. And then we found this recipe for a pumpkin cheesecake. And I was like—
And a gravy
for the chicken. So I decided to buy some chicken breasts. And so the stuffing turned out amazing. So that you have to make you have to start a day ahead because I have to make the bread. I made this cheddar bread, which we posted.
Yeah, we posted that on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and it was so good.
It was delicious.
Like, on its own.
And
like, not as part of the stuffing.
That doesn't take that long to make. It's like a few ingredients, you throw it together, you put it, I baked it in a cast iron skillet and it bakes for only like 15 minutes and then you let it sit for 16 minutes. Actually, but I let it go, so the recipe calls for 15 minutes. But I actually let it go 20 and I think it could have gone like just like one or two more minutes longer. So I think next time I'll let it go just like 22 minutes in total. And
of the stuff that you've made that where we're trying to replicate carbohydrates, right? So pasta and bread. pasta was a disaster.
That was a disaster. I haven't given up completely, but it's a disaster for now.
The muffins were good.
But
this was the closest in terms of texture. It was almost like a cornbread.
It was like cornbread. Yeah, when I was making it. So it's made with almond flour, flaxseed meal. So that's your base. And it's got eggs and cheddar cheese and then baking soda, baking powder rather. But that's it. So it's... And I only used a little bit of xylitol in it. This, not a lot at all. Actually, no, I'm sorry.
No, there was no xylitol.
There's no xylitol in that whatsoever.
That's savory.
So, yeah. So it turned out great. And so then you use that bread to make the croutons for the stuffing. And so it was a spicy Italian sausage stuffing, essentially. Except I didn't buy spicy Italian sausage because we're pretty picky about, well, you're picky about the Italian sausage that you like.
Yeah. So I don't know if I've ever told the Italian sausage story. I mean, we've only got 10 episodes and even my memory's not that good as I get older. But
we've mentioned Hungry Hill before.
Yeah, so Hungry Hill sausage is the be-all and end-all and we can still get it. I mean, Hungry Hill is gone.
Mm-hmm.
but we can still get it, and we have to for this because it's going to be so good.
It was so, it was, I thought it was very good. I couldn't, you have a, you obviously with the wine and stuff, your palate, you taste out things a little more than I do. I could taste fennel in it, but I don't, I don't have an aversion to fennel like you do.
Yeah, I'm just sensitive to fennel. Like, I don't really like the taste of fennel or licorice or...
See, I don't like licorice, but I don't mind fennel. So
yeah, they're just similar flavors,
yeah,
right? They are licorice-y, anise.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite, my absolute favorite cookie is Pitzel's.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the flat Italian waffle cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And some people put anise or anisette in it.
Yeah.
And I can't stand that. You know, I had an aunt that did that. So I'd always look for the little black flecks of anise because I couldn't stand that. I like a little lemon in the ones that we make. And it's great. But I am super sensitive. But even with that, the stuffing was
delicious.
Fantastic.
It was so good. And the gravy that I made was a brown butter gravy. And so it was made with butter and you let it brown, and then it's just got some chicken stock, garlic, heavy cream, and salt and pepper. So it's a super simple gravy, doesn't take that long to make.
And there's not an ingredient in there that could be bad.
No, and it's tasty. I don't know if I would necessarily use it for Thanksgiving.
I don't know either. It's very rich.
It's very rich. And we actually, I mean, we've gotten away from actually having gravy on our turkey whenever since I started making the cranberry sauce, which I did buy cranberries to attempt to see if I can make my cranberry sauce without, you know, the sugar. But that might be a cheat for us that day just because it's so damn good.
Is there a lot of sugar in that recipe?
It's a simple syrup. So it's half a cup of sugar to half a cup of water.
Well, but there's a lot of cranberry, though.
It makes a ton. It makes a ton of sauce. So, you know, when it comes down to it, how much are you really,
right. I mean, any amount of sugar for us is kind of out the window, like added sugar like that. But, you know, we're picking and choosing cheats that day, and that might be one of them. And that would be fine with me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're going to go overboard.
No.
On it. And we can put both of these, or all three of these recipes, really, if we wanted. We could put those on the show notes.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm sure we'll get asked at some point. And your cranberry recipe is ridiculous.
That's a Tyler Florence. So
Tyler,
I found that,
hats off, brother.
Yeah, he's amazing. I found that years ago, and it's so, so good. It's so good. It makes a ton. I've actually shared that with so many people because it just, I mean... It's really good.
We're going to have to aggregate everything into like an FMC cookbook.
There we go.
Except it's everybody else's recipe.
It's none of my recipes.
We're just going to steal everybody's Pinterest and make people pay.
Yeah, exactly. So the one fail, so we did have a fail.
This
was the one that we were looking forward to was the pumpkin cheesecake.
I am so heartbroken on this.
So it was a pumpkin cheesecake. So it was cheese, it was cream cheese, pumpkin filling. And so I made the crust and the crust actually was good. So I would do this crust again. It was coconut flour, eggs, coconut oil, and I'm missing something. I know there was something else in there.
Is there no almond to it? It's coconut?
No, it's coconut.
Oh.
And the crust itself, because I could taste just the crust, that was tasty. So that's a good solid crust. Like I could use that for another pie potentially. But the filling had so when I was making it, I kind of got a bite, you know, when I was, you know, I tasted it and I was like, this doesn't really taste, but it was off of the spatula. I'm like, to me, it tasted like pumpkin spices. So you have the pumpkin flavor of the can, and that's why I use canned pumpkin, which it's not the great. You have to spice it up. You put cinnamon, you put pumpkin spices, you put nutmeg. I mean, that's how you make a pumpkin pie. And this recipe only had pumpkin pie spices, the already pre-mixed stuff. And it was a lot in there. I mean, so I thought it would flavor it enough. But honestly, I wish I had just done like my own mixture of.
I'm not sure that was the only problem, though. There was that texture not good.
And
it
also, it was only like 4 ounces of cream cheese to like 15 ounces of pumpkin. And I feel like it should have been more even. Like maybe half and half or maybe a little bit more.
Was there not mascarpone in that?
Oh, yeah. That's right. And there were 16 ounces of mascarpone in there. So
that's
so that,
that
yeah,
seems
so
right.
That does seem right. But yeah, it just, it was so upsetting because I was so like, I started it yesterday, baked it for an hour with the oven closed, half hour with it open, let it sit to cool, put it in the refrigerator for overnight. I mean,
it looked good.
The look was good. And the texture, when you look at it, was
right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But when you took a bite of it,
it just wasn't right.
It just wasn't right.
It was like a gritty cardboard to me. Like, it just didn't have flavor.
To me, it tasted like pumpkin pie spices, but not in a good way.
But I think the really cool thing about all of this is that when you want to change your life, diet meaning noun, right? Not I'm on a diet, mm-hmm. meaning change our lives, change our eating patterns. You've got a plan. And experimenting is the only way to do it.
Right.
And frankly, sugar is tasty.
Yes. And there was vanilla. See, and there was vanilla in the crust, but there was no vanilla in the filling.
I'm not sure that would have saved it either.
It would have made a difference. The power of vanilla, it would have made a difference.
I hear you, but that I don't know if modifying that recipe is the right way to go.
No, I'm going to look for others. There's plenty out there. I actually found there's a mousse out there that looks really good.
Yeah, mousse sounds delicious.
So I was going to try that. And also, I mean, when you get to the super dark chocolate, the sugar content and like you can, that's like not a horrible thing to have. Like you can have
right.
The
well,
because
we're
dark.
Not like full on keto. I mean, no. I had fruit today.
Right.
I mean, I had a fruit that they say never eat. Right. I mean, I had a banana.
Yeah.
And
that's just
the way.
Like,
that's just the way the world's going to work for us.
We can almost do like we love our French silk pie. So I was like, if I could find like a chocolate pie using the super dark chocolate,
cocoa powder.
Yeah, and use that then. You know, with the crust, because I think the crust was solid. It was just,
yeah. Yeah, I almost wept.
It was so upsetting.
I almost wept.
I mean, it smelled good.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't wait.
It looked good.
I was going to have it for breakfast. Glad I didn't try.
This is like what we've been, what I've been hoping for, and then epic fail. And it's sitting upstairs on the counter. Now I have to, after we're done, I have to go
dig it out
and throw it away and just be sad.
That's okay. And I really needed a pick-me-up because I have been a beast lately. My recovery is going well in terms of physically, right? I think I'm about 90%+ right now.
Okay.
And I've got my follow-up in a couple of days with the doctor again to hopefully get cleared to do more, including run. And I think not running might be the issue because I'm eating the same, but I've been a beast. My mood sucks and I need to fix it. And I don't know another way to do it other than get out there and get the physical activity.
Right.
So my recovery is fine, but I haven't walked this week. And I mean, the weather was terrible, so I couldn't go outside. Thinking about walking on the treadmill just gave me the willies. I didn't want to do it. I'm going to have to suck it up soon. But hopefully I'll get cleared. So overall, it's fine. I mean, I'm still maintaining weight. I think I lost 0.2 pounds.
Yeah.
So I'm hanging, tight at 35 plus pounds, which is phenomenal. I mean, for not moving, being in a rut mentally, not caving in to what I really want to go do, which is dive into the Halloween candy that's sitting here. In the house. And that, it was funny. My dad the other night said that, right?
Right.
We have donuts. We've got all this candy. He's like, how do you have this in the house and not eat it? And it basically, the answer is you don't eat it.
We just don't eat it. Yeah.
I look at it sometimes.
Yeah. Today I had a weak moment. There was some munchkins left over and I was like, I looked in the box and I saw their jelly. I was like, oh.
Sounds so good.
But I didn't. Like, close up the box. I need to throw away the box.
For Daniel, for our son, made home run in pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like watching him eat it. I'm like, eat the crust.
You couldn't know. You had to walk away. Like, so I'm sitting.
I eventually did walk away because I was being tortured. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with the kids while they're having their lunch and, trying to be like family. And you're like, I just can't. And walked away.
I have always said that his stepmom is probably better than his dad anyway. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been a rough road just in terms of my mental ability, but physically I feel like I'm in a really good spot. Overall, I think I still need to make a couple adjustments to my daily routine just to be better, but you know, I'm getting there. So from that perspective, it was good. And it probably really hit me on Sunday as we watched the New York City Marathon as a family, which was really cool. All of us watching it.
Yes, it was fun.
Well, Lily, I guess, didn't, but
she came in and she came up came and down. And
she wasn't feeling well. So hope you're feeling better. I know you listened to the podcast. But in general, the New York City Marathon is just a huge inspiration. So there's a ton of people online that I know that are running it, a lot of the sub 30 family.
I had quite a few people I was shocked that I knew that were running it too from my sorority days.
Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing the web that you get in these communities, right? Especially in running, where you don't even know that two people know each other. Sometimes they don't even know they're in sub 30 together. It's been pretty entertaining at times.
But that's funny.
Watching the New York City Marathon was just awesome. So it picked me up in terms of wanting to get out there, and but it also was kind of torture because I really want to be out there. But it was so cool for on a couple of levels. One, an American woman won it for the first time in 40 years.
Yeah.
Shalane Flanagan crushed the field. And that was awesome to see. I mean, Shalane's worked really hard. She had a back injury. She was sixth in Rio. She's just a phenomenal athlete. So that was great to see.
She had a great attitude. And like during the pre, you know, she's like, I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to have fun and, you know, do my best, you know? It's like, I don't know if she like, I think they always go out to like in that group to, you know, hopefully win. But it's, to me, it seemed like she just wanted to go out there and run. Like, that's what she was, her goal was.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Shalane could place, you know, second or third. I didn't know that she could win.
Yeah.
Until the pace was slow. And I'm like, wow, this pace is slow. And it was slow and slow. And Shalane she's a phenomenal 5K and 10K runner.
Mm-hmm.
So speed-wise, she's got it.
Yeah.
So if they don't put her away trying to keep up earlier in the race, and that's kind of what happened. And Shalane, to tell you what kind of a person she is, so there was this is great, Ted Spiker posted this, so at Prof Spiker on Twitter, the Boston Globe put up, had a headline that Shalane Flanagan wins New York City Marathon, then heads back out to pick up stragglers, like run in the stragglers. And Professor Spiker crossed out stragglers and wrote other runners. But she went back out and like ran people in.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is phenomenal, right? Yeah. That's a sub 30 kind of move. So Shalane, you are welcome to join sub 30. I'm sure that you listen.
Of course. I mean, we'll have to hashtag her.
of course, right? And then the other big emotional piece for this race was it was the last race for Meb.
Yeah.
The greatest marathoner in American history. And, you know, and Meb's been here since he was 13 years old.
Yeah.
So he's an American through and through. And one of the most genuine people that is out there in the community and just a great ambassador for the sport, always doing well. And he's such a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
It was just awesome to see him come through. He collapsed as soon as he got through the finish line.
He was pretty tired.
But we're going to miss Meb a lot. So, and congratulations to everybody who ran that race and any other race this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you finished or didn't or had a great race or didn't, the fact that you're out there is an inspiration. So keep going. And here's another one. So on sub 30, like I said, you see all kinds of things. So there's a sub 30 guy named Craig Davidson. And Craig posted about his run streak.
Okay.
So a run streak, for anybody who wouldn't know, is just running every single day, at least a mile.
Okay.
So Craig's at a little different level when it comes to run streak. Last Saturday marked his 39th year of running without missing a day.
Oh my gosh!
So let me tell you what he posted here. That's if you're doing the math at home, that's 14,245 days straight.
That's crazy.
The total miles for his lifetime I'm not going to even talk about it. It's only a couple of thousand more. So for the streak, 204,699. I'm not great at math, but I think that's like 14 miles a day.
That's insane.
14 miles. On it's average. Over, it's actually over 14 miles a day on average.
On average. That's crazy.
And here, and as if that wasn't nutty enough, the dude has found almost $10,000 while running. So, in the
that will make me go run.
I was thinking, like, if you can get paid, which
you want to pay me to run, I'll run.
So he didn't just say I found almost $10,000. He put $9,868.94. So you know that dude's got it in a spreadsheet somewhere.
He's probably got it in like a bin or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's awesome. Like, I'm always finding these little so nuggets funny. Of inspiration within the sub 30 group. I mean, it's over 6,000 people now, so
yeah,
it's not small by any means. But congratulations to Craig, and thanks for making me feel lazier than ever.
Yeah, seriously, I'm all right with that.
I haven't ever found. I don't even think a dollar while running. I'm gonna have to look harder now.
Yeah,
though. But if you go 14 miles, you're probably more apt to find it than the 1.4 miles I'm going. So
yeah, for sure.
That's a big thing. And my struggle, and actually reading about people like Shalane and Craig and everybody else out there, had me thinking about happiness this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, does weight loss equal happiness? Like, is there some sort of a correlation or causation between happiness and weight loss? And I hear a lot of people say that happiness is a goal within losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to really kind of delve into that a little bit. How do you feel about that whole equating happiness and weight loss thing?
I don't know if I like it, in all honesty. I think that, if you lose weight, are you happier? Sure, maybe because, you can do more things that could make you happy. But I don't think it should be your source of happiness either. Like, I don't think, like, if you're losing weight to be happy, that's, I don't know if I like that one.
I think losing weight can give you confidence.
Yeah.
And when you get, so let's just say you're single, mm-hmm. right? And let's say you're 100 pounds overweight. And you're having trouble finding a date, and it may not be because of the weight. It may be because of your confidence level.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you lose that those pounds or some chunk of those pounds,
uh-huh.
and you gain confidence.
Right.
And then you start to date. You might think that that's happiness, right?
Right.
But it really might just be the confidence to get out there. And I mean, I know for myself, when I was, at my heaviest points, I was with somebody.
Me. Not always.
Right. But I'm just saying in general in my life, right?
Yeah.
But even when I was at my heaviest points, I'm not sure I lacked confidence, unfortunately. Cocky jerk.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how I felt about,
I don't know,
equating
don't
weight
think,
loss
no.
and happiness.
I don't think I like it. I think you need to. And it's not because if losing weight makes you happy, there's nothing wrong. Like, I don't have an issue with that. What I have an issue with, like, it's because I want you to be happy other ways. Like, if you didn't lose weight, are you not happy? Because that's not good either. Because you should be happy regardless of what you look like. And who, you need to be happy with who you are and it goes back to the confidence. Like, just be confident in yourself and be happy with yourself. If you lose weight, that's great. Maybe that gives you more happiness. Maybe, but I don't want to have that be the source of my happiness.
So my take on this was that in the process of losing weight, I'm actually kind of miserable, right? Because I'm depriving myself of
right.
things that I enjoy. So I'm not necessarily happier and I've continued to eat the same way, but I haven't been able to exercise. And I think that physical activity can release endorphins to help your mood.
Huh.
I don't know what makes any sense to you.
I was still fine.
but I think that my happiness comes more from the running aspect or the exercise, even just walking, hiking, any mm-hmm. kind of physical activity. I think that I feel better and I think that I have more happiness. And if there's any from weight loss, the only thing I could think of is any kind of changes to my internal, like from a molecular level or something, right? Or my blood work is better from a metabolic level, that maybe I would be happier. And so I started to get really curious about studies around this, right? Because there's studies around everything.
There's study for everything.
And of course, I found something and I came across a headline. It's in Shape magazine, which I believe is geared towards women.
I think so.
And then I tried to, and then I went and looked up the study and read what I could of it. But I'm not going to bore anybody with the science.
We want an episode 11. Well, I mean, I think
an entire episode of me just doing
no
N equals 30 trials.
No.
So the headline is Why Weight Loss is not the secret to happiness. And it was done at University College of London. They followed 2,000 students, I would assume, but they said 2,000 individuals over the course of 4 years. And the individuals were overweight or obese, but otherwise they were healthy.
Okay. So all the blood work was good.
Yeah. Overall, they were healthy, right? They didn't have diabetes. They didn't have heart disease. They didn't have any kind of issue, right? At the end of those 4 years, 14% of the participants had lost 5% or more of their body weight, and 15% had gained 5% or more of their body weight. So as you would expect in any study, mm-hmm. it's a bell curve,
right?
On, you know, the left tail is the people who lost, on the right tail is the people who gained, and they're almost even, right? 14%, 15%. And then the remaining 71% were at their original weight. And in the study, they were told to lose weight.
Okay.
So this is kind of what I would expect to see in society as a whole, in general. Like people maintain, 70% maintain, 15% gain, 15% lose, right? And the results were that the people who were lost the weight, they were physically healthier. So their blood work got better.
Okay.
And
makes sense.
They were also twice as likely to suffer from depression.
Well, because they're probably working out all their time and that doesn't have a social life. Hello.
Now, the study claimed to have accounted for things like demographics and health conditions and mm-hmm. any psychological variables that they could, right? But here's what the researchers ended up saying. The person's name is Sandy Jackson. Although dieters may feel a sense of satisfaction in seeing the numbers on the scale go down, each pound lost requires considerable willpower and sacrifice to achieve. It is easy to see how restricting food intake, resisting temptation, and in some cases, even avoiding social occasions that center around food could take a toll on well-being. And what I really like is that she was very careful to say that these are observations and that there is a correlation, mm-hmm. but not necessarily causation.
Right.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's
because
huge.
We're not saying that you will be unhappy. And I don't think I'm necessarily unhappier with the diet. I mean, I'm not miserable all the time.
Except today when you tasted the cheesecake and then you were...
Yeah, I wanted to throw it. I wanted to throw it down and just beat it up because I was really angry at that. And whoever put that on Pinterest, I'm mad at you too, just so you know. But the point being that I came up with for myself is happiness cannot revolve around food. I've got to look at food not as it can be a joyful thing to have a great Thanksgiving dinner and go out for our anniversary dinner and get together with friends and all that. But day in and day out, I have to look at food more as fuel. And if I don't, that's when I get in trouble. Tonight would have been really a prime example of that. Because the meal that we had was so delicious.
It was. But you didn't
But
go...
for 2 days, I was looking for that cheesecake thing.
But you didn't. So what did you, instead of like the old you, would have just gone into Michaela's candy and eaten a
Kit
Kat.
Oh, and there was still some donut left.
And there was donut left. And so you would have done that, but you didn't. You grabbed some apples instead.
Well, and I only had two slices of apple. And the apple I didn't grab to satisfy anything. It was to get the taste out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I should have just popped the bottle of wine then.
Yeah, it was really bad. But my point is that, you know, it's like, even though it was such a disappointment, you didn't just relapse into something that would have been bad.
Well, and I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because the corollary to the happiness equation is unhappy.
Right.
And if I would have eaten that stuff, I would have beat myself up for days.
Yes. And then I would have had to hear about it for days, and that would have made me unhappy for sure. So.
Right. Right. And I think that that's the bigger thing. I think we beat ourselves up.
Me being unhappy?
Yes. You being unhappy really is the only problem that we need to solve for.
Yeah, we don't want that.
But, you know, there was a post in a subgroup of Sub 30. There's 100 of them, I think, but the Sub 30 group, less is more. And I won't say her name, but she was having a bad day. And when you read the post, like, it was a pretty bad day. And she binged on some Halloween candy.
Oh, right? So good.
And she's beating herself up over it, but she ended the post talking about tomorrow's another day kind of thing. Right,
right? Like, for sure.
I can get better tomorrow. And I, you know, my response to her basically was, you know, I read the post, you totally understandable why you did that. And you can't change the past, but you can change the future.
Mm-hmm.
And when you let yourself down once, I've got to get better about not beating myself up over it, right? Because I am that person. Like, I will get really down on myself.
You will.
I've kind of got to not do that and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the glass of wine is a great way to end the night. It's a great substitute in terms of finding satisfaction.
Right.
Which is a big piece of it. So it's interesting that neither one of us equates weight loss to happiness.
No.
And I'm wondering if other people do. I mean, I know other people do because I've read it.
Right, exactly.
You know, I lost 100 pounds and I got happier. And I don't get it, but I think they're talking more about confidence. But
yeah. But I mean, if to each their own, always.
No, I'm going to tell them what their feelings are.
No.
I can't do that?
No. To each their own. And so, I mean, it's, you know, if they find that happiness losing weight, then that's great. We want people to be happy.
We do. And I mean, I added that into our intro because a couple episodes ago, because I think it is a big deal. I mean, we really are about health and weight loss. I'd like us to be more about fitness and maybe we'll get there someday, or at least I will. I'll get there again.
Tomorrow's another day. You never know.
And the reason that we're losing weight really isn't to find happiness or to regain some kind of happiness. It's really to make sure that we've got a healthier life and a longer life.
And to keep up with our youngest because she's exhausting.
It's true.
And sassy. She's very sassy.
She's gotten sassy.
She's learning from her sister when she was her age.
You know, Lily's not sassy now.
No, she's not sassy now, but she was.
Well, to us. Sorry, Vanessa.
She was back in when she was Michaela's age.
She was.
She was sassy.
That was the funniest thing ever.
So let's see, wait. So Lily's sassy at this age. Michaela's sassy. So obviously comes from your genes. So there we go.
Sure. Lily, when she was around that age, got a timeout at daycare. And she comes home. I got a timeout. Why'd you get a timeout? I was sassy. It was so cute. Oh, man. So I talked about living longer a second ago.
Yeah.
And that reminds me that, so last week we talked about intermittent fasting.
Yes.
And this week I read a study.
Well, I told you about it on the Today Show.
Right. You saw the thing on the Today Show.
Yes.
I don't know if they were quoting this study or not, but But I saw a study from Harvard.
I think so.
That talked about...
The guy looks smart.
So it's got to be an Ivy League school.
Well, yeah.
Or the U.
The U. Well, no.
But the study says that intermittent fasting, so 12 plus hours or going a day without eating or what have you, it looks like it helps lengthen lifespan and keeps people healthier.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Well, I also saw, like, so they touched on it on the, I only saw the tail end of the Today Show, and I'm not good at following up on such things like you. That's why I told you, because I knew you'd follow up on it. But
I didn't follow up on that. I just looked for the study in general.
But they talked about also that it also can help with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing a few things on high-fat diets and intermittent fasting both.
Yeah.
Helping with things like Alzheimer's and memory.
I mean, that's huge in both of our families. I mean, we already joke about my memory and my inability to remember stuff and stuff. And Alzheimer's was, my grandmother had it, her sister had a form of it and stuff. And so, you know, that's kind of in the back of my mind. I'm like, ooh, fasting, Alzheimer's, sign me up. I mean, yeah. Again, it's...
We're doing it anyway.
Right. And,
I mean, we've seen the benefits like we talked about last week, but it's right. really, it's nice when Harvard tells you, hey, yeah. this is cool. Now, what's interesting—
Harvard tells us, then it's got to be okay.
Well, there's these other guys, you know, like podcasts that I listen to have been saying this for many, many, many years. And yeah. they're like, hey, thanks. Now I've got validation because Harvard said so.
Exactly.
but it's kind of neat that we just brought it up and and we're seeing the science behind it.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Pretty timely.
For sure. I mean, because it's not easy to explain to people, like, these two things that we're doing. This,
right.
you know, low-carb, high-fat, so— Banting, NSNG, keto, whatever you want to call it. I mean, right. I don't think that we don't quite go as far as keto. We're more fat adapted.
Yeah.
At that point, which
I gotta have. I mean, like for lunch today, I had my cottage cheese and some fruit. I had some raspberries and blueberries, and I had to do it.
I don't think there's any problem with that at
that's
all.
That's what tastes. That's what sounds good. That's what tastes good for lunch these days. And there's.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do anything. I mean. It's right. I'm fine with it.
Well, and at lunch today at work, we had somebody in from out of town doing a demo for us on a system. And, you know, we all went to lunch together and, you know, I start talking about it. And I realized, like, after the fact, like, geez, I said a lot of words about it. Like, I don't feel like I need to talk about it, but as soon as I've got an opening to,
yeah,
it's like, I really like to because I find it interesting. And,
yeah.
and I ended that with the same way that I ended the big reveal episode. And I don't recommend this for anyone. But it's just what we're doing.
Yeah.
But one of the really interesting things that guy's name was Rick that was there that he said is, look, I sugar, like that's an issue. And that, I'm just not sure how we dispute sugar is an issue at
right.
this point in our society with diabetes where it is and everything.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a pretty big deal. And for us, grains kind of fall into the same category. So overall, we're timely. This is what I got out of this. We're super timely.
So
Harvard probably released that because we talked about it.
Of course, obviously.
The weight loss happiness equation, correlation, non-correlation, that's going to get huge studies now. Probably something soon from like Oxford. or
the U.
Or Moraine Valley Community College, whichever.
I was watching last night, I was watching the convicts versus Catholics, 30 for 30.
Oh,
was
nice.
On last night.
Well, that's coming up this weekend. That's
yes,
a big game.
Big game.
Miami and Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's a big one. We'll see what happens.
Well, and it's at Miami, so there's no touchdown Jesus involved.
But I was watching, I never watched it. It's total sidetrack. I was watching it, and they were showing the last touchdown that Miami got in that tied the game. Well, it didn't tie. They were down by one at that point, right? And so they were showing the slow motion of this catch, and it was so not a catch. But they were showing, like, the Notre Dame coach was watching this footage. He's like, I've never seen this. He's like, wait, what? I've never seen that. Like, it was so funny to watch this. I mean, he's got to be, 80 years old now or something? I mean, he's up there, and he's watching this footage of, in this day and age, and this rules today.
Was that Lou Holtz?
Yeah, when he was watching it, and, like, in this today's rules, it would have been ruled a non-catch because he didn't hold it carry the ball through the motion. He didn't do a football play after catching.
So should we go back and replay every game and then...
I know, but it was just kind of funny. But then you had Jimmy Johnson like, well, no, it's a catch. It's a catch, you know, it's a catch and stuff. And, you know, then they go for two and of course not make
Talk
it.
Talk about two polar opposites, Jimmy Johnson and Lou Holtz.
I know. It was really interesting. I enjoyed, I mean, I didn't, obviously, since I'm a Miami fan, I didn't, you know, but I knew the outcome already. So it's not like it was a shocker to me that they lost, but it was just kind of interesting about the whole thing. And they were talking about the t-shirts and the guy, one of the guys that made the t-shirts, they weren't licensed. They got one guy, there was a second t-shirt, not the Catholics versus convicts one. He actually got, he was on the basketball team. He made the basketball, a walk-on basketball player.
Not anymore.
He got kicked off, which was like for making these t-shirts. So it was, I don't know. I know, total sidetrack, but it was just when we were talking about the U, it just brought it up because I thought it was interesting. And with the whole Notre
30
Dame
for
game.
30 is, so for anybody that doesn't know, ESPN does these things called 30 for 30 yeah. and it's around some story. So it yeah. could be a game like this one. It right. could be around an entire school or program.
Yeah, they did a whole program on the Miami. There was a Miami program one right. as well.
It could be about a wrestler. I know Ric yeah. Flair has one coming up here.
Yeah. So
the Nature Boy.
They do a really good job with them.
They do. And they have a podcast.
Oh.
There are 30 for 30 podcasts and they are phenomenal. There's one about Phil Ivey, who's a poker player.
Yeah.
One of the greatest poker players in the world. And he, I don't want to give away the story in case somebody wants to go download yeah, it no. overall, but you know, he's basically finds a way to skirt the system for a specific game. Let's just, and it's not poker. Yeah. So let's just leave it at that. But I highly recommend listening yeah. to that. Maybe on your next road trip, instead of Netflix shows, you could listen to 30 for 30 podcast.
Well, you know, I'm going.
Or our podcast, for that matter. Give us an extra download.
Well, you know, I'm going to Dallas this weekend, so I got to find something to do on the plane.
That's true. That's true. Maybe, I don't know if you can have headphones in, though. You got the kid.
I know. She really does distract you.
Too funny. Well, after that tangent, should we wrap it up? Do we want to try to name these grapes again? Are you good?
No, I'm done. Okay. No, I'm good.
All right. Well, that's it then. Thank you for listening to episode 10 of the Fat Man Chronicles. As usual, the music is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. On social media, it's always at Fat Man Stories. So facebook.com/Fat Man Stories, Twitter and Instagram at Fat Man Stories. You can email us at fatmanchronicles@outlook.com. Our website is fatmanchronicles.com. And get out there and subscribe, please, on iTunes/Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean. And please leave us a review while you're at it. Those do help us move up some rankings, although I can't imagine us ever moving up a ranking.
You never know.
And just so that you're comfortable, we still have 0 patrons.
Yay!
So I think it'd be cool because this minute we can get one premium patron, I get to have swag made.
Exactly.
So really somebody needs to go and just give us a little bone here so we can get some swag, some Fat Man Chronicle swag. All right, that's it. Get out there and be better today.